So tonight we're going to be looking through a couple different passages. So you guys can open up there if you want, if you have your Bibles. If not, they'll be on the screens. But we're going to be in Isaiah tonight and going between two different passages, Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 52, if you want to look there. But as we start, I just wanted to point out, like, there are some specific examples of places in history and time where we can look and we can see people get super excited about a certain event, like big time things. Like I'm thinking of the Berlin Wall that happened, like even before I was born in the 60s, I think. Zach knows, he's the history guy. 1961, this huge wall goes up through Germany, and all of a sudden, like, one side of Germany is like basically held captive and not allowed to leave, and the other side's free. And it's like this massive thing for 30 years going on where people are trying to escape and literally being shot and killed just because they're trying to leave and go somewhere. And so there's all this oppression that's happening. And finally, and later in 1992, this wall comes down, right? And I remember, because I was alive at that point, I remember like seeing on TV this wall coming down and the people around it are just like crying and like yelling and singing. And like, they're so excited just to like see a piece of this wall come down, because what it represented was their freedom. Like, they had seen family members be killed over this. They had watched people die. They had lost loved ones. They had suffered and experienced what it was like to not have freedom. And so at that moment, just to see a small little sliver of wall, that first piece come down, like the crowd just goes insane. Like, there are people everywhere just gathered around to see this one little thing happen, because that first glimmer of hope, man, it just filled them with joy to know. And they were like, this is our freedom. And they're like shouting it out. And for people who have never experienced that, like if you've never really lost your freedom or been like oppressed, it might be really hard for you to put your mind into like what they're thinking, because we haven't experienced it. We don't know what it's like to be suppressed and to be held down or oppressed and to be held down and to lose freedom like that, or to watch people die over something like that. And so when like freedom comes along for us, we kind of take it for granted a little bit. Like, we live in a free country. So we get to experience that. You're sitting here tonight out of your choice. You chose, nobody dragged you in this door tonight. You're in a church and you're about to hear the Bible preached. We're going to say the name Jesus a lot tonight. And you know that there are places around the world right now, tonight, where doing what we're doing right now could get them killed. There could be soldiers slamming through the back doors with guns, dragging people to prison, killing people over this. This is happening right now around our world. Like, and we take this simple freedom for granted. And so many others, right? And so it's this idea, though, of not having freedom and then all of a sudden having it. It's something inside of you stirs up. You couldn't describe any other way unless you experience it. And there's so many examples. You think of the Holocaust and all of the things that the Jews went through. It's a shame that today people make so many jokes about it, because it was the most horrific thing that's probably ever happened on the planet. You think of people like Anne Frank, if you've studied her in school, and others who would huddle and hide and just like shake in fear that they would be killed at any second in gruesome, disgusting ways. And then what they must have been feeling when they heard that the war was over, when they heard that people were no longer coming to kill them. Like, what would you feel inside of yourself in that moment if that were you? If you lived your whole life in fear like that, thinking like at any moment I could die or be tortured or be thrown in prison, and then all of a sudden you get this news that's like, hey, you're free. You can finally breathe freely for the first time in your entire life. And you take that first breath after hearing the news and you breathe it a completely different way. Your thoughts change. Your breathing changes. Your everything changes, because now there's this incredible news of freedom that you get that you couldn't have experienced any other way. Today I was watching some videos on YouTube, and a video came up on that soccer team from Thailand a few years back that got stuck in a cave. Like, the water came up and they had gone to this cave and they were stuck in there. Everybody thought they were going to die. And they show like this news clip of the parents that are just like sitting waiting for these kids to be found. And when these divers come up and actually find the kids and report back to the parents, like, we found them and they're alive. You could see this room of parents just go insane. Like the way they were crying and cheering and laughing and hugging each other. It was like this insane joy that filled that room because of the incredible news that they had just heard. These are their children, like these kids that they loved with everything that they were. Like those parents would have given their lives for those kids. And then to hear that incredible news, it just lit their hearts up. What does it feel like for you when you hear really, really good news? Not just like physical, superficial news of like, yeah, sweet, I got a new iPhone or whatever, but like really good news. If you've ever had a loved one who's been diagnosed with something really scary, and then all of a sudden they get this really good news back finally from some tests, what does your heart feel like? The relief, you know, the hope, the joy that fills up inside of you. And tonight, what I wanted us to talk about as we look at these passages, these two passages in Isaiah, he talks about this idea of like good news and the joy that comes out of hearing good news. And listen, you and I have no greater news than the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, that he has forgiven you before God. That if you place your faith in Jesus tonight, your sins will be forgiven. You will no longer be headed to a real place called hell where you would spend eternity without Jesus. You are now receiving the greatest news if you believe on Christ, because the news is saying you're going to heaven forever to live with your Creator who designed you and loved you enough to send his own son to die for you. That's incredible news. And there are far too much of us today that are used to hearing the news. We're so accustomed to hearing that story and those that the gospel, right? And as we hear it sometimes, it just doesn't move us. Nothing happens in our heart as we hear that. When we say the name or sing the name of Jesus, our hearts sit bored, unmoving. We're hearing the greatest news ever spoken. Why doesn't it ignite our hearts? We've become so accustomed to hearing it. My invitation to you tonight would be that you would see the gospel with fresh eyes, that you would remember how incredible that news is, that it would blow your mind and cause your heart to beat fast when you hear it, that you'd be full of joy, that you couldn't even keep your mouth quiet about it. Because you want the whole world to know, Jesus has done this for me. And that's what I want to invite you into tonight. And that is what Isaiah is inviting us into tonight. So we're going to read Isaiah 40, just verse 9. It says this: "Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Now, some of you guys are hearing that and you're thinking, that is some really old poetry, scripture stuff that I don't even get, and that's okay. We're going to walk through it together, because this is one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture we can read. What he's telling us here is how that news should spring up inside of us, this joy that's uncontainable. And so let's look at it together. He starts off and he says this. He says, "Go up, go on up to a high mountain." And you're like, what? There aren't even mountains in Florida. Like, what do you want me to do? What am I going to do here? And this is what he's really trying to tell us. Because Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains. I mean, there are hills and mountains all over the place. And so a mountain was a very familiar thing in the Jewish mind. So for Isaiah to say, hey, go up to a high mountain, they understood the implications of what going on a high mountain is. If you've ever hiked or climbed a mountain yourself, or just, you would understand some of these concepts that he's trying to convey. Because when you get to the top of a mountain, all of a sudden, you can see everything around you. And everything around you can see you as you stand at the top of the mountain. As you call out and yell or just try to hear your echo, like it goes for miles and miles and miles. Your voice carries as you say things on the top of a mountain that it wouldn't do if you were down in the valley. There are all these awesome implications of a mountain, and here's what he's trying to tell you tonight. As we start this little message about joy off, he's saying, put yourself in the right place. You're like, what, Rob? What do you mean put yourself in the right place? God is calling you tonight to share his gospel with the world. I hope you've heard that once or twice from this stage, because I feel like we talk about it a lot. And if God's calling us to share that gospel, that good news with the world, he says, here's how you do it. First, go put yourself in the right spot. If you're going to go hide behind some rock somewhere in a valley and try to yell out, no one is going to hear you. No one's going to see you. No one's even going to know you're there. So put yourself on top of the mountain. Get to a place where people can see you. Get to a place where you could call out and your voice will echo for miles. And your voice and the message, more importantly, will be heard. This is really good news. If you believe it, go somewhere where people will hear it. He's not telling you today that you need to leave here and go up on a mountain, but here is what he's telling you to do. Put yourself in the right places in your life where people can hear the gospel out of your lips, where people can see the gospel by the way you live and act. You see, if we just hide in our houses, or behind our telephones all the time, or just with our one group of friends and we never leave that group and ever talk to anyone else, how in the world is anyone going to hear the gospel from you? He's encouraging us to step out of those comfort zones, to step into places where we can meet people, and people that need to hear the gospel will get to encounter you and hear you and see you and interact with you so they can actually see Jesus alive in your heart. How many of us have never really stepped out of those comfort zones? Maybe we never even knew we needed to, but here you're hearing it tonight. Isaiah's telling us, here's what you do. Go up to the mountain. I don't know where your mountain is tonight. I don't know where exactly it is that God's calling you, but I guarantee you it's out of your comfort zone. It's out of that safe space where we tend to hold ourselves all the time because it's safe. And he's saying, step out of that. Take a risk, trust Jesus, follow me, find people that need to hear the gospel and tell them. Now listen, for some of us, it's our own house. You don't have to step far out of your comfort zone. There may be people in your family that need to know the love and hope of Jesus. How horrible would it be if the end day comes and you're standing at heaven's gates and someone's like, hey, where's your brother? Like, I never told him. Never told him the good news. He never believed. He's not here. He's not coming. And all you had to do was step across the hallway and share the gospel with your brother, your mom, with your dad, your best friend, that kid at lunch that you see every single day and never talk to. Go to the right place, so that the gospel can be seen and heard. If we're always hiding in our Christian circles, who's gonna hear that needs to hear? God's calling us to the mountain. How many of us have the courage to take the hike? Say, yes, Jesus, I'll go. Maybe it's not the place that you are. Maybe for you, your mountain is your own life and testimony. You're living in a way where you'd say this: I believe in Jesus. I trust him. I've been saved. But my life right now would not reflect that. I'm doing things that I know don't honor God. I believe in him, but I'm backsliding. And I'm in a way right now in my life where if someone were to come up to me and I shared the gospel, I'd be embarrassed to share it because I know they heard me say those words and tell those stories and they watched what I did and they see this testimony of filth all over my heart. How dare I step up to them and try to tell them about hope in Jesus? I'm not in a place where I feel like they would even want to hear me or listen to me. So maybe your mountain is getting out of that and stepping back into Jesus. Is giving up the sin and the filth in your life and saying, I want to follow Jesus so I can be positioned in my life in a way where people see me and go, I see Jesus in you. You're kind, you're patient, you're forgiving, you're loving. I saw that dude do you wrong, and you know what? You're still, how are you still kind? There are supernatural things happening in you where people see you and they're like, you're different. Maybe that's your mountain. Maybe you're being called into a closer walk with Jesus so that when you share this awesome news, people hear it and they're like, man, you must know it for real because I see it changing your life. Like, you intimately know this news is true. So I want to know it too. Maybe that's your mountain. He says next, he says, O Zion, which means Israel, like the people of God is who he's talking to right now. Herald of good news is what he calls them. You know what a herald is? It sounds like an old guy name, right? But a herald is a thing. It's a messenger. A herald is someone who would literally call out as royalty would come into the courtyard. A herald would get up and announce their names and tell everyone there, this is so-and-so from this region, and they have this title, and they're here, and like announce their whole party and who they are. That was their job, was to announce the king or the royalty that was entering. And he calls Zion a herald of good news. Like literally, hey, if you're a Jesus follower, here's what you do. He made it very clear for our job description as followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus herald the good news. That's what we do. We are called to tell people this incredible news that saved us so they can be saved too. There's too much of this thing going on where Christians hear the good news and go, yes, it's mine, and then sit down. I feel better. I'm good now. I'm safe. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. I'm good now. And they sit in their little bubble. The first thing he says, followers of Jesus, O Zion, go herald the good news. It wasn't, hey, go sit with your youth pastor or your youth leader and be discipled for 10 years, and then you'll be ready, and then you can go tell people this awesome news about Jesus. No, it was, do you believe in Jesus? Go. Go tell people, this is incredible news. Why would you ever want to hold it in? Zion, herald of good news. It's the most important message you and I will ever communicate out of our mouths. Out of all the things that you will say in your life, count up the words and the thoughts and the ideas and the stories you tell or the lies that you tell or whatever comes out of this, the greatest thing that will ever pass through your lips is the gospel of Jesus. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose again. And if you believe in him, he will give you eternal life and forgiveness of sin. That is the gospel. That's this incredible news that changes our eternity. That's great news. So he says, guess what? You're a herald, a messenger of that great news. But he wasn't just a messenger, like you show up with a letter and quietly pass it to the king and he opens it and reads it in secret. It's like, hey, everybody, I have incredible news for you tonight. That's what a herald does. It's loud. It's to the world. It's unashamed. It's bold. The Bible calls us as Christians, it says that we should be like lions. Innocent as lambs. We should be like lions. Bold with the gospel of Jesus, because the world can do nothing to us if we are following the footsteps of Christ. Are you bold? Are you a herald of the gospel, announcing the arrival of your King Jesus to your group of people, wherever that might be, your sphere of influence, your family, your friends, your schoolmates, your teachers? Are you heralding it? Or are you silently walking through your hallways hoping no one will talk to you? Hoping no one will ask if you believe in Christ? Hoping none of your friends figured out that you go to church? God's calling us to be bold. with his really good news. The next thing he says here is, lift up your voice with strength. I mean, it's fitting because he's talking about a herald, and that's what a herald does. He shouts. He lifts up his voice, right? He lifts up the truth. Now listen, there are lots and lots of people and forces in this world that's they're lifting their voices. They're shouting messages. They're shouting things at you and me. And they want us to believe them. They want us to think it's true. They want us to follow their example and buy into the thing they're selling. But listen, amidst all the voices, the most bold ones, the boldest ones should be you and I. You know why? Because we have the actual truth. Like, there's no doubt that the truth that we carry, the message that we're shouting, can't be denied. It can't be changed. It is true. That should give us a boldness to say the things that I'm saying are true and can't be proved wrong. Are you boldly shouting out with strength? See, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Paul tells Timothy that. But of power and love and of a sound mind. So that we could share this gospel, this good news with the world boldly and not cower in fear in our churches, hoping no one figures it out. Hoping no one calls us names for being Christians or persecutes us. It's the greatest news anyone's ever heard. Why don't we want to share it more? I remember my first time having to speak in front of my class. I was in first grade, and I had this little presentation I had to do, and man, I had the worst stage fright of any human on the planet ever who's ever lived, right? Like, it was bad, really, really bad. And so the night before, I did not sleep. I was just sick to my stomach all night. I was nervous. I was just rolling around in bed, freaking out, so scared. The next day, my mom drags me to school. I tried to act like I was sick so I didn't have to go, and I'm just dreading having to get in front of my class to say this very short presentation because people would see me. People would hear me. I'd be in the spotlight, and it's not where I wanted to be. And so as I'm sitting in class, I felt like I was getting more and more nauseous. Like, at any second, I would vomit all over the girl in front of me. It was going to be disgusting. Her hair was going to, it was going to be bad, right? I knew I was going to throw up. My palms are sweaty. Like, I'm swallowing. Like, when I get nervous, my throat, like, closes up, and I, like, swallow a lot. So I was going to try to speak and just keep swallowing and be like, ah, and, like, my voice is getting really shaky, and it was just bad. I was so nervous. I thought I was going to pass out. Like, my teacher looked at me sweating and thought I had the flu. She's like, do you need to go home? I was like, yes. You know, she's like, no, no, no. And she pushes me to the front, right? And I do this thing, and I get through it, but, man, I remember the nerves. And for a long time after that, it didn't get better. Every time I had to public speak, I'd throw up. I'd go to school and I would throw up on the way to school, just going to school, just like having to, I don't have nothing to do. I'm just going to school to see humans. And I'm like, but oh, I'm so nervous. I'm going to see human beings. Like, it was bad. I was such a nervous kid. And I think of this and I think, man, we are called to share the gospel of Jesus to a world that needs it so desperately. That there are people right now literally dying and going to hell now. As we're speaking, people are closing their eyes for the last time. Not knowing Jesus. Tonight, as we sit here, people are literally going to hell. Every second that passes. And so many of us spiritually are nervous, the way I was as a little boy, to open our mouths and preach this incredible news that can literally grab them and pull them out of the pits of hell and save them. Maybe we're not in the right place, and that's why we just don't care. Maybe we're not on that mountain. We're so caught up in ourselves and our friends and fun that we're having and sports that we're playing and all of these other things over here that we're like, man, I don't even think about it or care about that. I don't like to think about it. It makes me uncomfortable, or it messes with my thing over here. Maybe you just need to get on your mountain and just step out of your sin and ask Jesus to do a work in your heart and remind you why that news is so good, But whatever the reason, he's encouraging us here. You don't have to be afraid. You have Jesus on your side. You are sharing the best news you could ever share. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And then he repeats this phrase. Now he says, "O Jerusalem," which is basically the same as saying, "O Zion," right? The people of God. "O Jerusalem, herald of good news." Again, he's enforcing this fact that it's great news and we should be shouting it out. In Jewish culture, as they write and repeat things, it just shows importance. The fact that he's saying it twice is like, this is super important. It's like a highlighter for like literature, right? Like you're highlighting this phrase saying, don't miss this. Check this part out. Underline, boldface, the whole deal, capitals, all caps. Like, don't miss this. You are a herald of good news. You're a Christian tonight. Are you sharing the gospel? Are you excited about the gospel? And listen, I'm not trying to make this some emotional thing just to get you hyped and then you chill out when you're outside and forget it. That's the last thing I want to do. But there should be a real joy in your heart as you think about what Jesus has done for you, because it literally changed your entire life for eternity. It's a big deal. And it might not make you constantly jump up and down like this and be weird, like, but you know what it should do? It should change your entire heart and mindset. It should cause a joy to live inside of you. It should cause this thing to happen of satisfaction. It's like, I have everything I need in Jesus. All this other stuff can go away if it needs to, but the most important thing I have, and so I want to tell people about this. And you become, in that moment, a herald. You shout out the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, and you're like, world, just try to stop me, because I'm not stopping. I want people to know. It's so incredible when I see students all of a sudden get this. Something clicks. And they go from just being like on your phone video game deal to like, I need to go tell people about Jesus. Like they're this insane person that just wants to talk about Jesus and tell people about Jesus. It's this incredible 180 when that flip switches in us. And it's not just a switch. It's a realization of how good the news really is. When you finally stop and realize this actually is the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened to me. The switch just flipped. You won't be the same, I guarantee you. When you really believe that, when it really clicks in you, you will not be the same. And you become a big mouth for Jesus. You become a herald, a messenger. He says this next. He says, lift it up and fear not. It's this awesome ability now that we have to obey Jesus without fear. When you get it, when you get this message and you get how big and awesome it is, here's why it's awesome. Because you no longer have to fear. And when you get that and you're like, this is awesome because I know I don't have to fear, guess what you don't do? You don't fear anymore. You're like, I don't have to be afraid of dying. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to be afraid of sin. I'm already forgiven. Like everything, Jesus has done it all. I have nothing left to fear. That's why it's great news. And guess what? If I don't have to fear, I can boldly now proclaim the good news without fear. I could go out to the world and to my family and to my friends and to those people I'm afraid of what they're going to think or say if I start talking about Jesus. You're a crazy person trying to sell me some religion. You're like, I don't care. He's awesome. He changed my life. Think whatever you want. I'm just going to do what I'm called to do, and that's herald to you the good news. So do what you want and think what you want, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to live it out in my life because Jesus really is that awesome, and his news really is that good. And so I will obey without fear. Listen, that means that the only thing holding you back, the only limiting factor to your obedience is you. It's just you living in fear. It's you being afraid to actually obey Jesus and do these incredible things he's called you to do. Things you can't do on your own, you're right. But things that he will absolutely do if you just say yes. It's guaranteed. He promises. And I've seen him do it. But the thing that holds us back every single time It's ourselves. It's our own fear going, I don't know if I can do that. I'm too scared to step out. I'm too scared to talk. I'm too scared to like bring this to that person. Seriously, God, you're calling me to them. That's the thing, us, that's keeping us from obeying God. It's a conscious choice we're making to obey fear instead of obeying the Lord. And he says, you have no reason to fear. Lift it up. Fear not, he says. And then he says this, say to the cities of Judah. Listen, there's also a target audience. Like there's a place you should put yourself up on that mountain, right? There's a mission for you to do. Go call out the gospel. But there's also a target audience, he says here. Say to the cities of Judah, there are people that he wants you to share this good news with. They've been in the mind of God for eternity past before anything was ever created. He knew that one day he would create this world and create you and you would live. And your mission would be to bring this good news to that person. God has always known it. It's always been his plan. It's time for us to live it out. Right now, here in the present, will you obey Jesus and go to your target audience, go to your Judah, go to those people that he's calling you to go to and tell them this incredible news before it's too late, before you can't anymore, before that person's gone and you no longer have the ability to go tell them so they can be forgiven, saved. There is a target audience, and God has specifically chosen those people for your life, for you to obey and say yes to him and to go share this news with. Right now, you are probably even thinking of people that might be your target audience. Even as we talk about this, there are faces and names popping up in your head and your heart, and you're like, man, I think I might be that person. You might even be like, nope, don't think about it, you know, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's like, no, listen, you need to go talk to them. He's really good at that. I bet right now you're already thinking of people. God's calling to go share this news with. Maybe you've been putting it off. Maybe tonight's the night you say, like, I'm not putting it off anymore. Maybe you've been trying, and good for you. I want to pray for you. Come talk to me later and let me know how I can pray for you, how your leaders can pray for you as you keep sharing that good news with those people. But listen, don't stop. Let's spend the rest of our lives doing the thing that we've been designed to do. We've been saved by Jesus to herald this good news. And here it is. This is what the good news is. He says at the end, this last phrase of this passage, he says, behold your God. Behold means look at. Imagine tonight, if you could physically have the eyes to see God show up. What would it be like if God just appeared in this room so we could actually see him tonight? He's here. He's all around us. He's in us. We believe in him. But what if we could physically see him? How unbelievable, unimaginable would that be? How scary would that be if we could see him in all of his power? That would literally blow our minds. Everyone in the Bible who's ever been able to even see like an angel, just an angel, has fallen on their faces in fear and reverence and all of these things just because of the power of that stinking little angel compared to an infinite eternal God. Imagine if you really beheld your God. If you could see him, fully experience him, be in the room with him, what would that do? What kind of reaction would that get out of you? Because this message is that big. That is what he's asking us to do tonight. Do you get that? He's calling you to see him. He's like, look at me. Really see me tonight. See how big I am. See how great I am. See how good I am. How much I love you. See my kindness and forgiveness. See how much I've sacrificed. And when you see how incredible God is, let it make your face hit the floor in worship A worship that causes you to then get up and you run to the world and get on that high mountain and scream out, everyone needs to know Jesus. You won't believe who I just saw. You couldn't imagine how incredible he is, how much he loves you, what he's done for you. What if we really could behold God tonight? Y'all, we can. We're doing it right now as we open his word, as we worship, as we pray, as we fellowship. We're enjoying God. But tonight, can I invite you to open your heart up to really behold him? To be willing to accept how incredibly big and awesome he really is. How wonderful the good news is that he saved you. Let it blow you away. Because this is what he wants to do with you. I'm going to read this last passage, and this is what God is calling us to be. Are you ready? Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains. Remember the mountain we were just called up to declare and herald? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This passage literally is describing Jesus. This is what Jesus has done. He has come to earth to do those things for us. The first herald to say, here's what I've come to do. And as he hung on the cross and as he rose again, he's calling out, I'm here to save you. And now our job as his church is to have his same mission, to seek and to save the lost with the gospel. That's what I've been called to do. And how beautiful would our feet be if we actually obeyed what he's calling us to do? What if this group of people right here, just a small group of us, what if we really beheld him tonight? What if as the band got back up here to lead us in worship, we opened our hearts up enough to really pour our hearts out into worship and to say, God, show me who you are tonight. All of it. Let my mind see you. Let my heart see you. Let me experience you right now in this moment of worship. I want to behold you in a way that changes me. What if we did that and it changed us for real and we left here and we became heralds to our schools and communities? What would happen to Merritt Island and Brevard County? With this small group of people, listen, Jesus changed the world with 12 dudes who were not a whole lot of much. Imagine what he could do with this group. If tonight we said, Jesus, yes. Yeah, we'll go. We'll climb the mountain. We'll call it out. Just promise that we can behold you tonight. Promise that we can be with you and spend time with you and experience your presence. Because this good news, oh, it's too good. It's too good to hold in. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Right now, as the band's coming up to lead us in worship, would you do just that? Would you ask God right now, help me behold you? Help me to worship you? Help me to see you in a different way right now as we sing? Let's ask God to help us do more than just open our lips up and sing music. Let's ask God to take our hearts and let us just pour it out with worship before him tonight.